It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at. At.
Mm-hmm.
At. At.
At.
Number five.
We got there.
Oh, God. All right, now. This is a bad moment for anybody who has to professionally be around microphones.
Yes. It's you happened know, to all of us,
you know, the
I would say.
First days in our business, someone comes up to you and goes, listen, don't ever say anything around a microphone you don't want the whole world to know. And I go, well, the microphone's off. You never count on a microphone being off. And Lori Lightfoot learned that the hard way today at the city council. She referred to a Fraternal Order of Police vice president as a clown and then had to apologize for saying it out loud. I don't know if that's really, I shouldn't say these things out loud. All right, well, when you say it like that, I don't know if you have to really apologize. You just go, yeah, no, the guy, I think the guy's a clown. What do you want me to do about it? But here's what it sounded like.
The next speaker is Pat Murray.
No, back again. This is FOP clown.
I'm here to talk about the police board hearing that I went to last Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, he was speaking about the four officers around Jason Van Dyke and how...
Right, that have been fired.
Yeah, that nobody worked together to form a conspiracy and that, you know, that they shouldn't have been fired. Shouldn't have faced discipline.
Right. Police are very, a lot of police officers, and the FOP, but a lot of on-the-street cops are upset about that as well. I do like this. I shouldn't have said that out loud.
You know, the out loud part. Shouldn't have said it, or shouldn't have said it out loud.
Right. Sorry, I should really. I don't know. There's really no way of getting out of that. It's like when you send a text to the wrong person,
right?
Talking about somebody, you just got to go, hey,
okay,
yeah, sorry,
my bad.
Yeah, shouldn't have done that. All right, checking in at
number four.
Departing the White House, heading to a fundraiser in West Virginia tonight. The president sounded upbeat. After former special counsel Robert Mueller's testimony on Capitol Hill today, he said that the former special counsel, not good.
The performance was obviously not very good. He had a lot of problems. But what he showed more than anything else is that this whole thing has been 3 years of embarrassment and waste of time for our country. And you know what? The Democrats thought they could win an election like this. I think they hurt themselves very badly for 2020.
That's not what I got out of it.
Yeah, I don't know that they hurt themselves. I don't think anybody got that much out of this.
Right. I mean, we already knew essentially what if you've read the Mueller report, which nobody has, even if you read the redacted version, the little condensed version, the Cliff's Notes or whatever, what's the other one that the kids have now? Where it's like the,
what
you don't
is
have to
it,
read
kids?
The book. What? Spark?
Spark Notes?
Spark Notes, yeah. Same thing. Yeah. The Spark Notes of it. Thank you. See, the damn kids. Anyway, the issue that the president is trying to bring up is that, you know, he's totally exonerated by this, but he's not. If you read into it, today, you know, Mueller basically... Well, we'll play it here. Hold on.
Okay.
So then he was asked about being indicted after his term.
No, he didn't say that. Again, you're fake news, and you're right at the top of the list also. Let me just tell you. Go back to what... It's not what he said. Read his correction. Read his correction. If you read his correction, you'll find out. That's why people don't deal with you, because you're not an honest reporter.
All right. Let's go back and set that up. I'm going to need that clip again, because Mueller did not correct that. Mueller corrected a separate issue of why he wasn't indicted, not could he be indicted after he leaves office, which is this is what happened earlier.
Could you charge the president with a crime after he left office?
Yes.
You believe that he committed, you could charge the president of the United States with obstruction of justice after he left office?
Yes.
Mueller did not correct that today. He corrected in his second testimony, in the second hearing today, a totally separate issue. And the president is sitting there going, he corrected it. You're fake news. You're fake news. I mean, see, that's what drives a lot of people, especially in the press, nuts. Because the president is not right about that. And he knows he's not right about that. So, but he also knows that people will just hear that clip and they'll see that and they go, oh, yeah, there's a reporter making something up. No. That reporter is not making that up. He won't answer the question. Mueller did say he could be indicted when he leaves office based on what they found in the report. That he did say today. And that is accurate. The question is, we actually just had Congressman Raja on, who was explaining to us that he doesn't think that that would actually happen because then we'd be sort of in a banana republic position of now indicting a guy who just left office. It would seem too political. But I'm sorry, but the president is wrong on that. And then there was this exchange.
He didn't say that at all. You're untruthful when you ask. You are untruthful when you ask that question. When you ask that question, you're untruthful. And you know who else is untruthful? You know who else is untruthful? His aides. And Weissman was untruthful. And Weissman got caught just like he did with Arthur Anderson, where he lost in the Supreme Court 9-0. His aides were very untruthful. And they put Mueller... And they put Mueller, not at all. They put Mueller in a very bad position. His aides put him in a very bad position. And if you were ever truthful, you'd be able to write the truth.
Oh, my gosh.
Talk about banana republics. I mean, I think we're kind of already there, aren't we? I mean, it's like, what is that? All right. We'll get on to your 3, your 2, and your 1. But first, let's check in. Here is Kim. What's going on in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Roe, it's about to get easier to go down under.
And then there is this. Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook. Tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN TV. Your pick just might be Chicago's Best.
Top 5 of 5.
Number 3.
Adam Sandler's making a new movie for Netflix. He makes a movie every hour on the hour.
His movies lately don't get great reviews.
No.
Don't get a lot of stars, but seem to make a lot of money.
Well, he's going to put all of his former cast mates in it from Saturday Night Live. Maya Rudolph, Kenan Thompson, Tim Meadows, Colin Quinn. Also, Kevin James is going to be in it. Shaquille O'Neal is going to be in it. Henry Winkler is going to be in it.
Oh,
and
Henry
Winkler says, hey, listen, Adam just likes to work with his friends.
That's how I met Sandler. I called him to thank him for putting me in his Hanukkah song. And then he called me and he invited me to his house because they played basketball. And I met Jim Carrey there and Brad Pitt there. And then he asked me to be in The Waterboy, which is like a seminal film of some kind because people talk to me about that movie as if it was made yesterday. It's amazing.
I mean, that does not sound like the Fonz,
no,
right? Remember the Fonz wearing a leather jacket? He was all tough guy, right?
Hey.
Wasn't that the Fonz? And now he sounds like my agent.
He does.
So I'm over at Sandler's house.
Right.
And
Brett Pitt's there.
Pitt is there. Shaquille is there.
He pretty much sounds like his character from Arrested Development all the time.
Right.
He's pretty much how I kind of imagine everyone in Hollywood to talk. Like,
it's funny.
At those parties.
He's such a nice guy, though.
Yeah, I bet he is.
He's been on the show, and he wears the, like, cardigan sweaters now. He's like an old man.
Oh.
He's like, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't mean, it's like, he's like the Jewish Mr. Rogers.
Is he still sexy like the Fonz?
I don't think. No, did that sound sexy like the Fonz,
no,
too?
No, it didn't.
All right. I didn't think so.
That was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2.
Kawhi Leonard and Paul George got introduced to the Los Angeles Clippers today as new Los Angeles Clippers. Steve Ballmer is the owner of the team. Couldn't hold back his excitement.
Please welcome Clippers chairman Steve Ballmer.
Love you, Darren. I have these notes, but I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool. Pretty damn
Oh my gosh. What is going on there?
I want him to come to my birthday party.
Seriously.
Henry Winkler was not as excited.
No.
So anyway, so there was Cowie Leonard was there.
Paul George.
Paul George was there.
Georgie boy.
Shaquille O'Neal was there with Brad Pitt.
Oh my God, he gets fired up.
Well, this, you know, a lot of people are saying this Kawhi Leonard trade, this whole thing, mm-hmm. It was kind of orchestrated yes. by Kawhi Leonard, right? Yes. In a way. And then people are like, hey, wait, you can't do that.
Right. The owners were all meeting this week, like, what the hell just happened? Right.
The NBA always does that, though, players.
Yeah, it does. But especially this offseason. I mean, Durant moving on, it was just crazy.
Why can't you do that?
Well, it's basically, what do they call it? Like, you're not supposed to negotiate with potential free agents or other players until the free agent period starts.
So what Kawhi Leonard did is he called Paul George before the free agency thing and said, hey, I'm going over to the Clippers. You're going to come with me. And he goes, yeah, okay, fine. And then they've already wired the deal.
Right.
And it used to be the agents just wiring the deal.
Pretty much.
And now
the players run the whole league.
Now the players are wiring the deals. Right. I mean, this has been going on forever. I mean, Jordan did it. Right? But beyond Jordan, I mean, obviously, very famously, LeBron did it. Mm-hmm. LeBron was at the party, too, with Cowie.
Was Steve Ballmer there? Because you'd know if he was there.
He was very fired up. Very fired up. I said to Brad Pitt, I said, look how fired up Ballmer is.
The guy's worth like $50 billion, but yeah, he gets fired up us the stuff. That's all right.
All right. And finally...
Number one.
Rutger Hauer is dead. The star of Blade Runner. Dutch actor was best known for his role as the nemesis Roy Batty from the 1982 Blade Runner, when Hauer's role in Ridley Scott's cult favorite is perhaps his most notable performance. He also was in Sin City, Batman Begins.
The meeting's already started.
What meeting?
Fox.
I seem to remember firing you.
You did. I got another job. Yours.
Whose authority? What makes you think you can decide who's running Wayne Enterprises?
Well, the fact that I'm the owner.
What are you talking about? The company went public a week ago.
And I bought most of the shares.
Didn't you get the memo?
He did say, though, he was most proud of Blade Runner because he thought it was his best performance ever.
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. Attack ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion. I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Ten Hauser Gate. All those moments will be lost in time, like tears in rain.
Rutger Hauer was 75.
The top five at five.